Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program Number 635, Going Native, Part 4. This is being recorded on May 26th of the year 2008. And what we're going to do is plunge right back in where we left off with no introduction. Hopefully, you heard Side 1. If you didn't, you can always listen to the program on the Spitfire website, on the WFMU website, and you'll be able to read about it on the Spitfire website and on the FTR blogspot as well. We're going to look at another article from GermanForeignPolicy.com website, and this is about an organization called the GFBV, or the Gesellschaft für Bedrohte Völker, the Association for Threatened Peoples. And this deals with, this is supposedly an organization which champions human rights, but actually it's a pan-German chauvinist organization which seeks to revive the pan-Germanic agitation among Germanic minorities in other countries of Europe, and to use it as a vehicle for achieving German hegemony over those areas, much as Adolf Hitler did during the Third Reich. Basically, this represents a von Clausewitzian continuation of war by other means. This article is called Background Report, The Association for Threatened Peoples. It's from August 14th of 2002, and it reads, "The German Association for Threatened Peoples, which describes itself as a human rights organization, unquote, campaigns for the worldwide enforcement of the rights of ethnic groups and the right to homeland or Heimat. It cooperates with leading organizations influencing German foreign policy, such as the League of Expelle, or Bundesamt für Vertriebene, that's the German government bureau that deals with the League of Expelles, and the Federalist Union of European Peoples Organizations. It is closely allied with expansionary German foreign policy under the pretext of advancement of human rights," unquote. Note that, because we're going to take a look, we're going to dolly out, and we're going to take a look at the UNPO, headed up by Citizen von Habsburg, which is basically a representation, a manifestation of this same, quote, advancement of human rights, but really for the purpose of destabilization and the achievement of hegemony. Only that is around the world. This is merely in Europe. Continuing. "According to the GFBV's proposals, fundamental human rights," unquote, "should be enforced by standing operationally prepared military strike forces," unquote. The GFBV was founded in 1970 and with around 8,300 members and 25,000 supporters, claims to be the largest human rights organization in Germany after Amnesty International. But again, now note before we continue, according to the GFBV's proposals, fundamental human rights should be enforced by standing, operationally prepared military strike forces. Sound a little bit like Hitler? Well, if it does, it's because it's a direct continuation by the, quote, new, unquote, Germany of Hitler's policies. And by the way, in AFA program number 37, we took a look at the re-enfranchisement of the Nazis from the Hitler period in the, quote, new, unquote, post-war Germany. We did the same thing in AFA number 2, as well as in For the Record program 13, available for download for free on the WFMU download website. More about the GFBV, the largest human rights organization in Germany after Amnesty International, and one that proposes fundamental human rights to be enforced by standing operationally prepared military strike forces. The GFBV was founded in 1970 with around 8,300 members and 25,000 supporters, claims to be, quote, the largest human rights organization in Germany after Amnesty International, unquote. Over and above this, there are, as parts of GFBV international sections in Austria, Luxembourg, the autonomous region of South Tyrol, Switzerland, and Bosnia-Herzegovina, as well as a contact bureau in Paris. Since 1993, GFBV has enjoyed advisory status on the Economic and Social Committee of the United Nations. The founder and political head of GFBV is Tilmont Zuch, who has been Secretary General since May of 2000 and is President of GFBV International. Last year, he received the badge of the German League of Expelle for his efforts on behalf of the human rights of German Expelle. Parenthetically, as we looked at in Side 1, the Vertriebene groups were formed by and managed by the SS and were actually had their own bureau within the German government, the new federal, quote, new, unquote, Federal Republic of Germany, basically an SS bureau within the Federal Republic of Germany. Continuing. This year, he, Zulch, was decorated by the German Federal President Rau with a Federal Service Cross for his consistent striving for human rights, unquote. The political work of the GFBV is drawn from German folk ideology. Threatened and persecuted individuals are not at the center of its concerns, although GFBV calls itself a human rights organization. As indicated by its title, the individual is of concern as a member of a distinct community, that is, as a people or folk. GFBV campaigns loud and strong against every attempt to destroy a people, its security, life, right to property, and the development, religion, its linguistic and cultural identity, unquote. In the view of GFBV, the Volk, people, is the essential form of organization for humanity, a quasi-natural community, unquote, which basically creates human beings from its collective group humanity. Humans who become estranged from their part in the continued existence of the original Volk, language, culture, religion, etc., lose their identity, unquote, and with it an essential part of their humanity. Consequently, the GFBV combats every form of the rising tendency throughout the world towards assimilation of people's ethnic and religious communities into population groups. The destruction of the alien, unquote, begins with the destruction of languages and culture. This is termed ethnocide and cultural genocide, unquote. To create or to tolerate an atmosphere in which a language cannot survive is language murder, unquote. In the eyes of GFBV, France is somewhat guilty of this because of its insufficient fostering of regional dialects. France is therefore guilty of continuing ethnocide, unquote. The GFBV sees history as in the main the history of peoples, particularly in the history of continuing genocide. It maintains, since the end of the Second World War, whole groups of peoples have been expelled and repeatedly given over to genocide in an unending sequence, unquote. The genocide theory of the GFBV goes along with a far-reaching relativization of the real German mass atrocities, especially the Holocaust. Thus, for the GFBV, the German people become one of the most threatened peoples. In world history, the expulsion of Germans from Eastern Europe in the years 1945 to 1948 is the worst case. More than 12 million then lost their homes and 3 million their lives. Zülch, the political leader of GFBV, complains that the Holocaust was given too great a prominence during the Tribunal of the Victors, unquote. The war crimes of the Allied governments, unquote, and the crime of expulsion of the Eastern and Sudeten Germans, which fulfill today's definition of genocide, remained unatoned, unquote. And again, I think here the straight Nazi/SS character of this organization, basically maintained by the contemporary German government, becomes quite clear. Continuing. In the meantime, Zülch has become a member of the advisory committee of the League of German Expellee for the construction of a Center Against Expulsion, unquote, in Berlin. He campaigns jointly with the League of Expellee for the endowment of this center, which should promote, quote, the right to homeland, unquote. This center in Berlin, Zülch says, is of great importance for the victims of today's expulsions because the European governments are not fighting these crimes, nor are they campaigning vigorously for the return of those who have been driven out, unquote. The last annual meeting of GFBV in 2001 called on the various organizations of German expellee to unite and demanded that the federal government must undertake political steps at an international level so that laws and regulations by which the expulsions of Germans after the Second World War were retrospectively legalized must be repealed by the EU candidate countries in Eastern and Middle Europe. They must be acknowledged as an historical injustice and remedied. In this close cooperation with the German expellee, a series of contacts and groupings have come to light which place the GFBV clearly in the tradition of Völkisch and National Socialist ideology. Around the year 1995, it became known that the former Nazi administrator of the Kolomea ghetto in Poland was working for the advisory board of GFBV. He was implicated in co-responsibility for the death of 30,000 Jews. The well-known extreme-right periodical Young Freedom, or Junge Freiheit, expressly praised the, quote, Völkisch policy of the GFBV, which described itself as, quote, the organizer and supporter of threatened nationalities and original peoples, as well as of ethnic minorities, unquote. In the national revolutionary periodical We Ourselves, the deputy leader of GFB and chief editor of its periodical, Pogrom, Andreas Selemchi, wrote an article with the title, Suffer Expulsion No Longer, The masthead motto of this paper is, "Who speaks not of the people should stay silent about human beings," unquote. Its campaign for national identities in small, ethnically homogeneous units following the principles of the GFBV. GFBV maintains particularly close contacts with the Federal Union of European Peoples Groups, or FUEV. The headquarters of FUEV is in Germany and was conclusively connected with the reawakening of German Volkstum and minority activities after the Second World War. Several of its founders are former National Socialist racists. FUEV maintains direct contact with the Foreign Office and is funded by the Federal Republic of Germany. Again, when we're talking about these Nazi genocidal participants, such as the aforementioned Nazi administrator of the Kolomea ghetto, we're talking about people who are being funded by the German government here. Continuing. The issue of the GFBV periodical Pogrom appeared in December 93, January 1994, with a thematic emphasis, "Guard Europe's diversity, the situation of nationalities and minorities," unquote. The FUEV, which also appears in the publication, provided one of the articles on this theme along the lines of a policy based on ethnic groups or Volksgruppen. Wolfgang Mayr, founding member of GFBV South Tyrol, who was crucial for the development of the theme of ethnic groups with GFBV International, complains in his article about the lack of progress for laws, rights, and for national groupings. 100 million Europeans belong to over 200 national groups and minorities. That is one-seventh of the European population. This one-seventh is certainly discriminated against and excluded. It has not been possible to establish legally binding people's group laws because states like France, England, Greece, and Turkey were slowing the process down, unquote. In a further article, he praised the former South Tyrol MEP of the Green Party, Alexander Langer, who supported ethnically motivated war. Ethno-national tensions could not simply be tackled negatively. They possessed much vitality and authenticity. Langer supported a Europe of the regions and of ethnic group rights, unquote, as a constituent element as a condition of entry into the EU state and into the EU. States must accept cross-border EU regions and an enforceable charter for people's groups, unquote, as well as a binding minimum commitment to decentralization, for example, autonomy and regionalism. Before we get into the South Tyrol manifestation here, note that it is the South Tyrolians who, among others, again, a member of the Vertriebene groups and of the GFBV and FUEV, who were working on behalf of the Tibetans. The South Tyrol section of GFBV International is particularly active in the policy of people's groups, unquote. It is entrusted with the area ethnic minorities in Europe, unquote. This GFBV section works closely with the FUEV and the South Tyrol People's Group Institute, led by former FUEV President Christoph Pahn. Christoph Pahn believes that the Institute can make a constructive contribution to the solution of the ethnic minorities question in Europe, unquote. He advocates, quote, "the development of a European system for the protection of minorities," unquote, above all with the appropriate organs of the European institutions and Parliament. In 1983, the Institute founded a Center for Austrian Ethnic Groups, which was to serve as an embassy, unquote, for ethnic groups jointly serving all the autonomous groups of Austria. The South Tyrol is a Germanic-speaking area of what is today Italy. Skipping down, the ethnic group propaganda is illustrated with reports from and about threatened peoples and ethnic groups worldwide. The line taken over Chechnya says that the escalating use of force by the Russians arises from the colonial behavior and thinking of the Russians, unquote, whilst the Chechens are reacting to an attempt to overthrow their culture, unquote. In the First War, resistance was supported by the longing for ethnic self-determination and by belief in God and in themselves. The contrast between the hungry, immoral Russian soldiers and the steadfast fighters who fired every shot with the cry, "Allahu Akbar," could not be greater. And of course, the Chechen combatants are Islamists, supported by the Muslim Brotherhood, supported by Al-Qaeda, and supported by these same Nazi-associated elements of our own State Department, exactly as other elements of the armed forces and intelligence community work against the Islamists. And note this following in connection with the rights of, quote, threatened peoples, unquote, and the agitation inside of the former Soviet Union. This is from the International Herald Tribune of Sunday, November 4th of 2007. Putin warns of outside forces that wish to split Russia and take over its natural resources. President Vladimir Putin said Sunday that there are people in the world who wish to split up Russia and take over its vast natural resources, and others who would like to rule all over all mankind, unquote, a veiled reference to the United States. Speaking in front of Moscow's iconic St. Basil's Cathedral on Red Square, Putin told a group of military cadets and youth group members that while, quote, an overwhelming majority of people in the world are friendly toward Russia, there are some who, quote, keep saying to this day that our nation should be split, unquote. Quote, some believe that we are too lucky to possess so much natural wealth, which they say must be divided, unquote, Putin said, speaking on National Unity Day. These people have lost their mind, he added with a smile. Many Russians fear that their country's rapidly declining population and enormous natural wealth could one day leave it vulnerable to outside predators. P.S. says, Dave, note that the Chechen activists and others, Muslim minorities in the southern part of the former Soviet Union, including parts of what are today Russia, if they achieve, quote, autonomy, unquote, that will split Russia off from some of its key petroleum producing regions. Again, the all business, as they talk about in Texas. Now, what we're going to do quickly, and I'm going to have to telescope some of the material in this part of the broadcast due to the limitations of time, but note that all of the articles, some of which I'm going to read, some of which I'm going to describe, will be presented in the FTR supplemental section in all of their detail. And so, again, bear in mind that For the Record is a hybrid form of broadcasting. It's not only meant to be listened to, but it's meant to be read, so please do that. We're going to dolly back now, and we're going to take a look now at not only the destabilization of China, and I think that China is in an active state of destabilization, but we're going to take a look at the UNPO. That's the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, headed up by Karl von Habsburg, the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, whose father, Otto von Habsburg, was a member of the Free Rudolf Hess Society. Rudolf Hess was Hitler's deputy. And also, Karl von Habsburg is married to Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza, one of the heiresses to the Thyssen Industrial Empire, a linchpin of the Third Reich, a linchpin of the Underground Reich, and it was with the Thyssen Empire that the Bush family first began its investing in Nazi Germany. And we're going to be taking a look at the UNPO, which we looked at in great detail, particularly in For the Record program number 450, but also in 447, 8, and 9, the series dealing with the Dalai Lama, the pan-Turkist movement, and the destabilization of China. In addition to the ethnic Tibetans and the Inner Mongolians, the UNPO and the Underground Reich are championing the rights of the Uyghur Muslim minority in Xinjiang province in China. The Uyghurs are Muslims. They speak a Turkophone language. Basically, they are part of the pan-Turkist movement. And they refer to themselves as East Turkestan. They collaborated with the Nazis in the pre-World War II and World War II period. And do not fail to note that Xinjiang province, where the Uyghurs are established, is very rich in natural resources, including, ta-da, oil. All business. And if Xinjiang province should gain autonomy, well, that's going to give whoever can get a hold of it charge of that oil business. Back to GermanForeignPolicy.com from March 17th of 2008. This is about the destabilization of China. And I want to note in this regard that what we're going to be looking at is a working relationship between the Friedrich Naumann Foundation, an element of the German Foreign Ministry associated with the FDP, the German Free Democratic Party, elements of the Green Party and the associated Heinrich Böll Foundation. They are working with the UNPO and with the Uyghurs, the Tibetans, and the Inner Mongolians. They also, by the way, are working with a State Department official named Paula Dobryansky. Paula Dobryansky is the daughter of Lev Dobryansky, one of the Ukrainian ethnic agitators, I guess one could say. He was part of an elite military unit that was planning for martial law and that figures in the background of the assassination of President Kennedy. Lev Dobryansky was very close to the OUNB, that is the Ukrainian fascist organization that fought with the Nazis, became a key element of the Galen organization of the anti-Bolshevik bloc of nations, figured prominently in the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization. Its top member in the late 80s was a woman named Ekaterina Chumachenko, who was in charge of presidential liaison under Ronald Reagan. And now the former Ekaterina Chumachenko, head of the OUNB, is now Mrs. Yushchenko. She is married to President Yushchenko of the Ukraine, which I think gives us some depth on the Russian dissatisfaction with that government. Of the destabilization of China, and there are several different articles that talk about this, I'm only going to read one. This from March 17th of 2008 from GermanForeignPolicy.com. Berlin is using the upheaval in the western region of the People's Republic of China to pursue its campaign of attrition against Beijing. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is demanding that the Chinese government enter a dialogue with the Dalai Lama, the most famous leader of the Tibetan secessionists. Roland Koch, Prime Minister of the German federal state of Hesse, would like to have international observers sent to Lhasa and does not exclude a boycott of the coming Olympic Games. Since last year, German politicians have been using the Olympic Games as a means of applying pressure to force a change in Chinese policy toward Tibet and a destabilization of Beijing's control over Western China. The plan was the focal point of events organized last year by the Friedrich Naumann Foundation, an affiliate of the Free Democratic Party and a working group in the German parliament or Bundestag. Beijing gambled and lost with its preparations for the Olympics, alleges a government advisor in Berlin. The rising East Asian rival will be in a worse position after the games than it had been before. German politicians' current interference in the domestic affairs of the People's Republic of China are based on the recent unrest in the western Chinese region of Tibet. For the past few days, there have been serious conflicts between secessionists and Chinese state power. The secessionists are attacking businesses and institutions whose owners or sponsors speak the standard Chinese language and are waging pitched battles with the police. Numerous deaths have been reported, and in this conflict, Beijing's sovereignty over the west of its territory is in jeopardy, and so is the influential potential of this ascending world power. Berlin is using the conflict to weaken China. Chancellor Merkel is demanding a direct dialogue between Beijing and the Dalai Lama, a valorization of the Tibetan secessionist leader having personally laid the groundwork last fall with an invitation to the God King for talks in the German Chancellery. That meeting was part of the Dalai Lama's tour of several Western capitals ending in October in Washington, D.C., with the leader of the Tibetan exile government being elevated in the international arena to the counterpart of the Chinese government. The public relations and subversive actions placing into question Beijing's sovereignty over its Western territories, or even declaring this sovereignty illegitimate, unquote, will be continued with the Dalai Lama's next visit to Germany in May. And what I'm going to do during the rest of this broadcast, we're going to be continuing this series. In fact, I can tell you right now that For the Record 636 will be Going Native Part 5, and we're going to dolly out and we're going to take a look at how the Volksgruppenrechte is being applied around the world. Right now, China is being destabilized. Russia also faces destabilization. And if there are people, particularly conservatives or reactionaries in America, saying, yeah, that's right, let's get the Russians and the Chinese, the same thing is being done to the U.S., and so I wouldn't necessarily rejoice at that, because the U.S. is going to be sacrificed on this same ethnic altar, so to speak. But right now, some of the underground Reich-associated elements of the State Department and the Bush administration are working with the UNPO and the other elements working to destabilize China. Turning to a GermanForeignPolicy.com article from April 8th of 2008 titled The Olympic Torch Relay Campaign, about how the recent spate of bad publicity that China got in connection with the unrest in Tibet and the Olympic Torch procession around the world, skipping down, of the State Department's role in this destabilization effort. Paula Dobryansky, the Undersecretary of State in the U.S. State Department and Special Coordinator for Tibet, also participated. She was a member of the National Security Council already in the Reagan administration, continued her career in the State Department during the administration of President Bush Sr., and since 2001 was again in the U.S. State Department. Ms. Dobriansky is considered to be one of the members of the neoconservative inner circle in the Bush administration and ranks as a hardliner of imposing policy. Again, she is the daughter of Lev Dobriansky, very close to the OUNB that we spoke about in Side 1. The OUNB were Ukrainian fascist nationalists who collaborated with the Third Reich, contributed significantly to the Waffen-SS, to the Einsatzgruppen that committed the mass murders on the Eastern Front in World War II. They became a key element of the Galen Organization. They became a key element of the ABN, the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, a key element of the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization that grew up under the Crusade for Freedom. They were a key element of the Reagan administration under Helena von Dahm, the protege of Otto von Bolschwing, Adolf Eichmann's superior, in, quote, Jewish matters for the SS, and she is now the head of the Tibetan desk, and also, as we'll see next week, is working very closely with the UNPO and with the Uyghur Muslim secessionists in Xinjiang province. Taking a look at a different view of the agitation in Tibet, or the unrest in Tibet, in this same article, skipping down, whereas the German media mainly reported on brutal attacks by the Chinese security forces, eyewitness accounts provide a very different picture of what happened. The British journalist James Miles of The Economist, who was in Lhasa from March 12th through 19th, reports of pogrom-like attacks by Tibetan gangs on non-Tibetan members of the population of the city, among them the Muslim minority. And we're going to talk about that at greater length and in greater detail next week. And also, we're going to take a look at some of what lies in store for the U.S. By the way, you know who the latest group being championed by the UNPO is, the latest of these downtrodden minorities? The Afrikaners. I'll give the full URL for this article in the description next week. May 19th, 2008, the Afrikaner Connection. Afrikaners have joined an international organization fighting for the rights of minorities, Freedom Front Plus leader Peter Mulder said on Monday. The Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization at its General Assembly in Brussels over the weekend accepted the Afrikaner people as one of its 70 members, which include Australia's Aborigines, the Maasai of Kenya and Tanzania, and Tibetan monks, also the Uyghurs and the Lakota and the Hawaiians. We've spoken about the Hawaiian secessionist effort in the past. Hawaiian secessionists occupied the old Iolani Palace, which was the palace of the Hawaiian monarchy before they were dethroned. The honorary Italian vice consul of Italy in Hawaii, a woman named Carmen de Amoricia, endorsed this occupation. We'll talk about that. Her top aide is a strapping German guy named Manfred Zapka. Manfred Zapka, as we'll look at in an article next week, is a peak oil advocate. And as we looked at in For the Record 506, recently re-aired on many of these stations, Peak Oil derives from a petroleum analytical company called HIS Energy Services, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Thyssen-Bornemisza Industries. ThyssenKrupp in the 90s bought the old Leuna refinery in the former East Germany. That was the top IG Farben facility in World War II. Manfred Zapka is a peak oiler, and Karl von Habsburg is married to Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza. One of the groups they champion are the Lakota, and the Lakota are claiming independence in the American West. Part of the area that they claim for independence is the Bakken oil field, which is estimated to increase U.S. domestic petroleum reserves tenfold and is described as the greatest oil discovery, the greatest boom in oil discovery since oil was described in Saudi Arabia. But if the Lakota, championed by the UNPO of Karl von Habsburg and his lovely wife, Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza, get their way, that will be an independent entity. More about that next week, however, because that's going to be in Going Native Part 5, For the Record 636. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program 635, Going Native Part 4, being recorded on May 26th of 2008. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.